God, I thank you for being my Father. And I thank you for your Son. I thank you for your Holy Ghost, who unites us all as one.
Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am John Harvey with the Community Homeowners Group to present to you thought-provoking messages that will not only engage your heart, but will dispel age-old myths and unveil hidden truths that unfold the Word of God.
God, I thank you for being my
Today's message is being brought to you by Ozzy Richie Palmer, entitled The Mark of the Beast.
At this time, I will share with you words of wisdom on the topic, the mark of the beast. First, let's look at the word mark. A mark is a sign or symbol to help identify a person, thing, or object. For example, a person may be identified by a birthmark, and an aircraft marking identifies its type. Cars identify their type. And many of God's people are identified by the cutting of their skin called tattoos. The mark of a beast is an example of that's found when Cain slew his brother. The mark carried God's warning that Cain was under God's protection and that anyone who took Cain's life would have to answer to God's judgment for doing so. Mark the perfect man, Psalms 37:37. Because the end of that man is peace. To mark the perfect man, one must be able to identify who that one is. Religious men and women who say that no one is perfect, of course, cannot mark the perfect man, because to them, there is no such man. Those who receive revelation know that the man of the Spirit is that perfect man, and God has called each believer to spiritual perfectness. Ephesians 4:13. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Galatians 6:17. Paul had the marks, a brand of Jesus Christ manifested in his body or his daily walk. In other words, Paul had taken on the mark of Jesus Christ or his character. In this sense, Paul was a perfect man because he evidenced the perfect character of Christ in his daily walk. Paul had left the principles of the doctrine of Christ, Hebrews 6:1-3, and had gone on to perfection. He did so by receiving the doctrine that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Matthew 16:13. Satan is a counterfeiter. He represents himself as the Antichrist, or the one who comes in place of Christ. His satanic trinity is made up of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The beast is the bodily presence of the dragon, and the false prophet is his voice. To take the mark of the beast is to take on his character. The name of the beast shows forth his essence. The beast's essence is determined by the number God assigned him, which is 666, the number of a man. God gave the creature a natural number, reserving for himself a spiritual number. Those who have received the mark of the beast are only known by God. It takes the Spirit of Christ to separate the wheat from the tares. Matthew 13:28-29. Our job as Christians is to preach the everlasting gospel that the Jesus whom we preach is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet are known by signs, wonders, and miracles. In addition to natural signs, wonders, miracles, great swelling words proceed out of the mouth of the beast. The great swelling words, however, are deceiving in nature, causing the whole world to follow after him. Revelation 13:3-14. Again, the work of the beast is shown by show and tell and designed to deceive God's people. In every aspect of present-day Christian life, prayers, songs, icons, movies, so forth, great value is placed on outward symbols or signs that supposedly have spiritual meaning. except the worship associated with the symbol leads the people into idolatry. For example, a familiar hymn, O Rugged Cross, speaks of the cross as a good thing. The songwriter promotes the cross as an object to which one should cling, and one day he or she would exchange the cross for a crown. To embrace the outward work of the cross is to participate in the show and tell work of the beast. Without a doubt, it is related to sense worship. The idea is to cause an emotional response to what is seen and felt. Both the natural cross and natural blood are used as major symbols throughout the Christian culture. The symbols themselves provoke an emotional response in memory of the physical pain associated with a natural salvation wrought by Jesus, the natural man. The mark of the beast, the work of Antichrist, is truly at work in the earth today, for he is the number of a man, as earlier shown, and that man is the natural Jesus, still preached by many. To preach the natural Jesus is to lead people away from the true and living God. This is the mark of the beast at work. In essence, the mark of the beast is a doctrine that established that there is something good in the flesh, when in fact, there is no good thing in the flesh. Romans 7:18. The mark of the beast might best be described as the mark or brand of the old man, wherein the individual is held captive and led by the spirit of Antichrist. This Antichrist denies the power and wisdom of God and seeks to overthrow the kingdom of God. It is because of the spirit of Antichrist at work that the church has been robbed of her overcoming power, as she so willingly gave into the doctrine of Constantine, the voice of the dragon, who made all of Rome and her idolatrous practices and pagan rituals as the new face of Christianity. Though many of God's children believe that the mark of the beast is some future occurrence, we would be at our best to believe what God has to say about it in 1 John 4:3. As the spirit of Antichrist is now already in the world, so is the spirit of the beast. His image is the natural man that he has established in the earth by way of his supporting ideas, which has been used to deceive man. By the blood of Jesus, the doctrine of Mary's baby, pictures of a natural Jesus and other images, resurrection of a natural man, and a natural man sitting on the throne with the Father, to name a few. It is not too late to be delivered from the deceptive works of the beast, as well as his mark. As the true gospel is being preached, much mercy is unto those who forsake the mark of the beast. Exodus 33:19.
Today's message is being brought to you by David Ritchie, entitled, Faith Cometh by Hearing.
I take delight in bringing to you an interesting and enlightening message. The message pertains to faith and the various levels of faith, as well as how we sometimes confuse natural faith with spiritual faith. This message is entitled, Faith Cometh by Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A few nights ago, I was reading my Bible and focused on the story about the woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years. This woman believed that if she could only touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be healed. I thought, wow, this is a perfect example of a person exhibiting perfect faith. The next day, I met with a group of friends and excitingly shared with them my thoughts. One of the members, Helena, took issue with my characterization of the woman of having perfect faith. I asked her to explain. She responded that many of God's people have misconceptions as to what faith is. Many people petition and then profess to believe God for their desired outcome. Contrast this to God's faith, where God initiates a word, and then we hide that word in our heart to ensure that it is carried out without irrespectful of our desires, wants, or needs. I ask, so what are you saying, Helena? Did the woman not have faith? We know that Jesus described two levels of faith. Those who see and believe, natural faith based on sight, and secondly, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Didn't this woman have perfect faith without sight? Helena responded, the question is, or should be, whether the woman with the issue of blood, was she directed of God as to how her healing would come? In other words, did God speak to her and tell her she must touch the hem of Jesus' garment to be healed? If she was acting without such a word, then she could not act in anything more than natural faith, based on what she believed God would do for her. Don't misunderstand. Natural faith was okay for the time. For God expected a natural faith would lead the nation of Israel to spiritual faith. However, now that God has established a church, a third level of faith is required. This third level indicates that blessed are those who believe God's word in spite of what they see and hear to the contrary. This is made possible because as God speaks a word, if the word is hidden in our heart and believed to be true, then nothing our eyes see or ears hear can tell us or shake us from that word. Again, to be clear, there's nothing wrong with natural faith in and of itself. Natural or sight faith is not perverted or deformed, made malleable by supernatural powers, would lead to spiritual faith. Let me repeat that. Natural or sight faith, if not perverted or deformed, made malleable, that is, by supernatural powers, would lead to spiritual faith. A second friend, Michael, chimed in and added that natural faith can be compared to individuals going forward in the power ministry. Power ministry, as described by Paul, was given unto the church at its inception and involved laying on of hands, casting out devils, water baptism, among other things, that is. Many churches today go forth in these acts. But do they progress beyond the power ministry, which is the principles of the doctrine? The Lord has shown us we should leave those principles and go on to perfection in the overcoming power ministry. I asked Michael, what do you mean by principles of the doctrine? Michael replied, in the book of Hebrew, the 6th chapter and the 1st verse, Paul wrote, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. The principles are the base or beginner's level. It is the starting point, the fundamentals or foundation of any matter or discipline. For example, Michael said, you've heard of the principle of mathematics, the principle of art, the principle of design, the principles of accounting, the principles of economics, and even the principles of religion. These principles are the very basic level of those disciplines or these disciplines. After one has mastered the principles level, the principle levels, they then move on to intermediate and then to advanced levels. They are usually awarded the title of master, teacher, professor, professional, or some other title that distinguish one from being a novice to one of experience. In other words, one can say, Paul was saying, let's move from the works of the novice to advanced works of the mature saint, perfection. Now, perfection involves being perfectly led of God to do his will at his call. Our call to faith is higher than those that preceded us. Abraham was called the father of the faithful, and he was highly blessed and favored by God. However, he did not have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost as we do, for Jesus Christ had not entered the scene. Therefore, God's expectation of us is not faith at Abraham's level, but faith delivered unto the saints by way of the perfect example of Jesus Christ. Helena agreed with Michael's comments and added that in James 2, chapter 2, and the 14th verse, James shares with us that faith without works is dead. The scripture tells us that even the devil believed there is one God. In a sense, they have faith, but their actions are devoid of work that evidence belief in one God. Another example is that many people profess belief that Jesus is the Christ, but their actions show something different. They undertake all actions saying, in Jesus' name, omitting the Christ. These same individuals claim they believe, as the scripture has said, but undertake official actions such as baptizing, praying, casting out of devils in Jesus' name. Why would one omit Christ and perform such actions in Jesus' name when every instance in the Bible, the acts were performed in Jesus Christ's name? Is it the subtle trick of the enemy who tricked the church into preaching a Jesus doctrine devoid of Christ? Devoid of the Christ? If so, the focus became Jesus, Mary's son, as being God and ignored the fact that Christ is God's son. And Jesus was the human in which Christ indwelled. In Christ is found the wisdom and power of God necessary to overcome man's enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let me repeat that. In Christ is found the wisdom and power of God. Not in Jesus, but in Christ is the wisdom and power of God to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. So, it is no mystery why the devil would encourage the church to preach a Jesus doctrine devoid of the Christ. It is because it renders the church impotent, without strength, to overcome the devil. Mercifully, and thank God, that God has blessed his church with understanding of what the devil has done and has restored the overcoming power to the church. Now, Helena continues, and she says, so if faith without works is dead, the question each of us must ask is whether we are operating in the high level of faith of God as evident by our works. Have we been faithful to the specific works that the Lord has called us to? That is, attending service, attending brothers and sisters meeting, praying in our heavenly language, giving of tithes and offering, etc. These are among the works for which we will be judged, faithful or lacking. Michael stated, I see where Helena is going with this. Conventional wisdom dictates that touching the hem of someone's garment has no effect on being healed. It appears that the woman with the issue of blood believed that she would be healed despite conventional wisdom. The important question is whether God has dictated, had indicated that her healing would occur by touching the hem of Jesus' garment. Many people believe God for things that they desire and will hold steadfast in spite of indications to the contrary. This may be mistakenly perceived as a high level of faith. Contrast this to how God describes faith. Faith cometh from hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I will repeat this because this is very important. Contrary to how God describes faith, which is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, before one can have faith, one must first hear the word from God. It is that word of God, when believed and offered back up unto God, allows a person to go forward in faith. Accordingly, if one has not yet heard from God, but steadfastly believe that God will bring about a desired outcome, one is not exhibiting the faith of God. Rather, one is exhibiting natural faith, or faith born of the flesh. Helena added, but be careful not to confuse the word of God with simply the words written in the Bible. God's word is the revealed wisdom that may be found in the written word of God. God's word is the revealed wisdom that may be found in the written words of God. This wisdom is spoken unto an individual as a right now commandment to engage in or refrain from a particular thing. The word of God comes by way of Goma. God's ordained minister appearing, mentoring us in the way of life. Accordingly, we must always heed Gomer's instruction to us as he reveals the word of God unto us. I considered and meditated upon Helena's and Michael's words and have come to the conclusion that they were absolutely correct. This message has been a blessing to me and has caused me to seek Gomer's guidance in unfolding to me the Word of God. I trust and I hope this message has been a blessing to you all, that you may desire to seek Gomer, God's ordained ministering appearing, that is by way of the Spirit, that we may all come up to that third level, that high level of faith, and put behind the natural faith and move into the level of perfection. For many have said, one cannot live perfectly, but God has said, one can. Who do you believe, man or God? Peace be unto you, a brother in Christ.
The production you have just heard has been developed from many revelations from the Little Book series, The Law of Natural Anointing, Which Jesus, Heavenly Messages for Overcoming Death, authored by Dr. Daryl G. Hunt. We pray you have been edified by the words spoken on this day, and that your heart is inclined to want to know more.
I'm thankful every day for all of your blessings.
God, I thank you for being my Father.